So last week, we talked about the announcement to Mary from Gabriel that she would give birth to a son, and his name would be what? Jesus. Amen. So today, we're going to catch the other half of that and talk about Joseph. We're going to talk about Joseph. We're going to be in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. And if we could bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we come again to you, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this time together, Lord, and just being in your house and in your presence, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you anoint those that are here to receive your word, Lord, and I ask for the anointing to bring your word as you want it brought through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask you to open hearts and minds. Remove me and all of you, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So, today's title is called Joseph, Chosen by God, right? God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, of the Savior. But God also chose Joseph to be the earthly father, to be the adopted stepfather of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But why Joseph? Why Joseph? Have you ever thought about that? Why Joseph? Well, have you ever read the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1? Most people haven't, but the answer lies within us, within it. People see the genealogy and they often just blow right by it and they don't read it because it's a bunch of begot, 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 begot. Well, to have that in there is important because we see the bloodline of Jesus. We see the line all the way back to Abraham. In Matthew 1:1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So it goes all the way back, really, before time. See, if Joseph adopts Jesus, does that still make him a descendant of David? Many people are aware that Jesus was a descendant of David from both his mother's side, Mary, and his father's side, Joseph. His earthly father's side is by adoption because of the divine conception. So why does Matthew emphasize Joseph's side and not Mary's side to prove his lineage? Well, part of the answer is you have to think Jewish in culture. You have to think Jewish. The emphasis is always on the male. That's how Jewish culture is. It's not that Jewish culture wasn't anti-women at all. If anything, women's rights in that culture was far more superior than the rest of the Middle East. The view is that God called men to lead, and the leading roles in this pedigree of Jesus were almost all men. but there is women that are mentioned in here, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But they're mentioned for specific reasons, but the emphasis is on the man. And Joseph's line is chosen as there were expectations of a promised male king, right? The Messiah. And Joseph's family line was the kingly descendants of David. They were the kingly descendants of David. And that was the line people were watching for the Messiah. That's what all the prophets were saying that the Messiah would come from. And it's unfortunate that in Jewish culture, the Orthodox believers, they don't believe that the Messiah has come yet. But he's here. Mary's line was a descendant of David, but not the line where the kings came from. People were primarily looking at the kingly line for the Messiah. And since that's where people were looking, that's where God put Jesus. Because where people were looking at that line. So God, that's where Jesus was. And he was a direct descendant of the king line of David through his stepfather Joseph. And a direct descendant of David through another branch of the family line via Mary. So both Mary and Joseph came from the line of David. And it had to be that way for Jesus. Verse 18 says, now the birth in Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. See, in Jewish culture at this time, marriages were prearranged. They were prearranged. And a pledge to be married or to betrothed is an engagement period with no sexual encounters, lasting probably sometimes up to a year. So Mary was a virgin and Joseph more than likely was too. And they were probably teenagers when this took place with no intimacy. That doesn't happen today. That doesn't happen today. Kids are having sexual relations at a very young age, right? They don't stay celibate. They don't. And it really doesn't mean anything most of the time either. But that betrothal was an engagement. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Being her husband, once this arrangement took place, that was it. But this verse tells us a lot about the character of Joseph. In verse 19, we're told that he was a just man. He was a righteous man, a man of love, and he wasn't vengeful. Joseph wanted to divorce Mary quietly without humiliating her. And so he tried to keep the law by quietly doing that. But at the same time, he was having mercy and wasn't making a big deal of it. I can only imagine what was going through his mind when Mary was trying to explain her pregnancy. Joseph probably thought, you were unfaithful to me. Right? And you ended up getting pregnant. Well, how would you do that? What are you doing? Could you imagine Mary trying to explain this to Joseph? I couldn't imagine. And she's probably, no. The Holy Spirit came upon me. And he's like, what? How could that possibly be? I don't think he would have ever believed her. He wanted to divorce her. He wanted to do it quietly. He's like, I'm done. I'm not gonna disgrace you, but I'm done. Let's go back to Mary last week. If she had just all of a sudden got pregnant, she'd have been flipping out. How did this happen? What happened? God sent Gabriel to explain everything that was going to happen. So God knew that Joseph was going to probably trip out a little bit, right? So he sends an angel. Through all that, though, Joseph still treated her with respect. He still treated her with respect. So in verse 20, it says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David,'" comes from the Davidic line, the kingly line, "'son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" So while before the angel came, Joseph was taking time to think about all this stuff, to think about everything that was going to happen, to think about how he was going to divorce her quietly, right? To think about how everybody was going to react. To think about how now his life is going to be, how now Mary's life is going to be. And I'm speculating here because I don't know what was in the mind of Joseph, but I can only imagine just seeing it today, what happens. But he took time to think about things, and he didn't react in haste. He didn't react quickly. He didn't go right to the divorce stage, right? He took time to weigh all the options. He wanted to make sure he was doing the right thing. Divorce isn't always the right thing. But Joseph may have been up all night pacing the floor thinking about everything and what to do. Can you imagine just walking back and forth, pacing the floor thinking, what am I going to do? Have you ever been there? Up all night, stressed about things, pacing the floor, dropping your blissets, walking around, pacing the floor, oh, what am I going to do? She cheated on me. She got pregnant. So have you ever did that? You stayed up all night and you're just going over things, but then all of a sudden you fall asleep, right? That stress gets to you, you know, and you just can't think about it anymore, and you just fall asleep. Well, that's what happened to Joseph. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He fell asleep. That means God can read our thoughts, right? And this is a good support for silent prayer. And it means God can read all of our thoughts, the good and the bad. We have to remember that. And then an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, and God has given him the answer he was looking for. God does that. God gives us the answer. Might not be the answer we're looking for or that we want, but God gave Joseph the answer he was looking for. What to do? What should I do? And when it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, this means Joseph can not only hear the angel, but can also see him. The angel called Joseph son of David, which again ties together that coming of the line of David, of Jesus Christ. See, you can see the grace of God in this verse alone when Joseph is called the son of David. It's the grace of God prevailing over the law. And as Joseph came from a cursed line, what did David do? What all would happen down through that line? I encourage you to take Matthew 1 and go down through the genealogy and look up all the people, who they were, what they were about. They were not all righteous. You have Rahab, the harlot, came from the line of Jesus. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been a wife of Uriah. What did David do? Went after another man's wife, got her pregnant, and killed her husband. Joseph came from a cursed line. It's a reminder, though, to us that despite our family heritage and our shortcomings, we can still be used by God for great things. It doesn't matter who we are, and I say this all the time, what we've done, where we come from, God can still use us. And he used Joseph to be the earthly father of our Savior. Coming from a cursed line. That's God's grace. That's God's grace and his mercy. But we see again, as with Mary, that the angel tells Joseph not to be afraid and proceeds to tell him that really she's been faithful and became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Why does the angel always come and say, don't be afraid? So we're not afraid. Right? So we're not afraid. You see, this angel, we don't know how tall the angel is. But we do know that in the Old Testament, the angels went back up to heaven to get recharged. Right? The face of Moses shone, was bright, because he was in the presence of God. That's God's glory. When we see angels and they're glowing, that's God's glory upon them. The angels don't blow on their own. It's God's glory. God's glory was over Moses when he came down off of Mount Sinai. That's the glory of God. So when we see somebody standing there and we're like, we don't have to be afraid. But the other thing to notice from Joseph's standpoint is all this took place in a dream. It all took place in a dream. Joseph didn't wake up and say, whew, what a nightmare. Better cut back on that late night pizza.
Right? Eat too much before bed. Bad dreams.
Right? He didn't do that. He didn't say that. He understood that this was from God and he obeyed. He obeyed. God's capable of speaking to us at any time, in any way. We don't have to strain to hear the voice of God. We don't have to strain to do that. God is more than capable of communicating to us however and whenever he wants. He hasn't lost our phone numbers, and we don't have to be quiet so God can hear us. We don't have to be quiet. We think that when we pray, we have to be, and whisper, no. God can hear us all the time. We don't have to go in quiet prayer. We have to go to him in reverence. That doesn't mean being quiet. And we don't have to strain to hear his voice. He wants us to hear what he has to say. Even if he has to send an angel to us. He wants that. He wants that communication with us. And if we're not praying and we're not doing the things that we need to do and being obedient to his word, he's not going to hear us. Why? Because we're not talking. We're not going to hear him. Why? Because we're too busy talking. Amen? Verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what?
Jesus.
For he will save his people from their sin. Christmas. The angel told Joseph that Mary would have a son, and the name of the baby, as he did with Mary, which is Jesus. But the most important thing about the whole Christmas story is the purpose of Jesus being born.
Save his people from sin.
It doesn't say, you're going to give birth
to a great teacher, to a great prophet, to a great carpenter, right? To a master construction builder.
That's not going to happen. Jesus' primary purpose is clearly stated here in verse 21 and why he was born and became one of us. He will save his people from their sin. We lose sight of that. We lose sight of that. Often. He was born so that we can have salvation. That we can be saved. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. Where's that at? Hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of Matthew can also be summarized as two facts. Jesus is fully man, the seed of David. And Jesus is fully God, the virgin birth. In today's main scriptures, we read of the seed of God being planted in Mary to produce Jesus. And we can't fully comprehend how Jesus is fully man and fully God. We just can't. Because he's 100% man and he's 100% God. Our minds can't comprehend that. But he is. And at the same time, it's not one day he's over here and he's God, and over here the other day and he's man. It's 100% full. And it's a mystery as the Trinity is a mystery to us. And there are some aspects about Christianity that are beyond explanation. And we are simply to be asked to accept them by faith, by reading God's Word, right? Believing in what God's Word says. And one day, we'll know. We will know. That, I'm pretty sure of. We'll understand the Trinity. We'll understand how Jesus Christ, our Savior, can be fully God and fully man. He came to this earth to become one of us. And that's next week's message. No, it's Christmas Eve's message. Verse 22 and 23 says, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. In verse 23, we see prophecy come true. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." But yet there are those that don't think the Messiah came yet. That's a clear sign. It says the Lord himself is going to give you a sign. Prophecy come true. Verse 24. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. He took Mary home as his wife. Joseph, being a man of faith, was obedient to God. It didn't matter, because now he knew who was inside of her. Because God told him. He knew that was our Savior inside of Mary. And he was obedient. He was obedient. He took Mary regardless of what the ramifications were going to be. We've all seen movies, the things that they went through, right? Of being mocked and all that other stuff. I couldn't imagine. And see, Joseph thought about all these things. How can I avoid all that? And God says, you can't. Take her as your wife. And he did. He was obedient. How many times does God tell us to do something and we're like, can't do that. I don't want nobody to make fun of me. We need to be obedient to God. We need to be obedient. Amen. In verse 25. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph and Mary didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to Jesus. Joseph was a man of patience and self-control, but also kind and considerate. He held off the whole time because he knew Savior was in Mary. And if they would have had sex, that would have messed everything up. That would have messed everything up. But we go back to verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. God was telling, he told Mary, his name will be Jesus. But God, we see in that in verse 21, God told Joseph, you name him. You give him his name. I want his name to be Jesus, but you are his earthly father. And that's what the fathers did. Just like John the Baptist was Zechariah. God said his name will be John. They often named their children after ancestors, after them, and everything else. But being that Joseph was going to be Jesus' earthly father, God gave him that blessing. And we see that he, at the very last verse of chapter 1, and he called his name Jesus. He was obedient. He didn't try to change it to Joe or Joseph. That's important.
That's important. God honored Joseph by doing that. He honored him because he knew he was faithful. He knew that he would do right by Jesus. And as we see, we don't see a lot about Jesus' childhood, but we know that he was raised in the faith. He was raised in the Jewish faith. He knew the scriptures. Yes, he wrote them. He wrote every one of them in the Old Testament. But we see that Mary and Joseph did right by God.
And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. The Catholic religion believes in Mary's perpetual virginity. That Mary stayed a virgin. This verse tells us the truth. And one of the key words to notice in verse 25 is the word till. The words did not know her is a polite way to say sexual intercourse. Out of reverence of God, Joseph didn't have intercourse until Jesus was born. And Mary went on to have at least 5 children after Jesus. 2 of them become followers of Jesus after the resurrection and wrote the epistle, James and John. Mary was a sinner when God found favor in her.
So was Joseph. They were both sinners. They were sinners before Jesus was born, and they were sinners after. I asked this question to quite a few people. Why do you think Mary is in heaven? Why do you think Mary is in heaven? People say, well, she was the mother of our Lord. She got a free pass into heaven. That's absolutely not true.
Not true. Because Romans 3, 22, 23, even the righteousness of God through the faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Mary knew she needed a Savior. And in Luke 1, 46 through 48 is the song of Mary, the Magnificat. And Mary said, it's the second shortest verse in the Bible.
That's one verse. And Mary said, what's the shortest verse? Anybody know?
Jesus wept.
John 11, 35. Jesus wept.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She didn't say he regarded me because I'm the mother of the Lord.
He regarded me a lowly maidservant. She was a servant of the Lord.
She was a servant of the Lord. Was she special? Obviously. She gave birth to Jesus. God found favor in her. But they were excellent earthly examples of parents. Joseph is last mentioned in the scripture when Jesus was 12 years old. We know that he passed on the carpentry trade to his son and raised him in the Jewish traditions and spiritual observances. But we don't hear a lot about Joseph after this.
After Jesus was in the temple.
God honored Joseph's integrity by entrusting him with great responsibility. And it's not easy to entrust your children to somebody else. But God did that. Imagine God looking down to choose a man to raise his own son.
Wow. God trusted Joseph and Mary to bring forth our Savior.
Two normal people, like we are. Mercy always triumphs. Joseph could have acted really different towards Mary's apparent indiscretion. But he chose to offer love and mercy, even when he thought he had been wronged. What do we do when we think we're wronged? Do we offer love and mercy? No. We offer hate and anger a lot of times. We need to really take Joseph as an example. See, walking in obedience to God may result in humiliation and disgrace before everybody.
Bible thumper, holy roller, you know. But that's okay. Because Jesus walks before us.
Jesus walks before us. You know, we may face adversity. Right? We lose family. Jesus says that's going to happen. But it only happens
if we're sharing Jesus Christ. It only happens if we're walking in faith. If you're not sharing Jesus Christ with family members or friends or whatever, you're not going to lose them. You'll keep them.
If you're not walking in obedience, and you're not walking in faith, they're going to stay with you. Because there's no difference. There's no difference between the way you were and the way you are now. And if we truly have that heart change because we received Jesus Christ as Savior, then there's going to be a difference between you and those that aren't saved.
But Jesus will always lead and guide us. And without question, Joseph's leading quality was his righteousness. And he trusted God, and in turn, God trusted him with his precious son. Joseph did not always know all the details. Neither do we. We don't know all the details that God's going to do for us, or God's going to bring us through, or what's going on. We don't always know those details. We have to trust in God. We have to act in faith, and knowing God will lead us into the next step, as he did Joseph and Mary. A lot to think about.
I'm not putting Joseph on a pedestal. Jesus is on the pedestal. But we have to be, as an example, we have to use Joseph as an example. He went through a lot of stuff, but yet stayed obedient. When we go through a lot of stuff, we need to stay obedient. We need to stay obedient.
If you need prayer, come on up. As we close. So,
next week we're going to talk about the most amazing gift ever given to mankind. As Christmas is getting closer, everybody's buying gifts, giving gifts, having Christmas parties, doing all that stuff. We're going to talk about the most special gift next week. And then candlelight service Christmas Eve.
So if you need prayer, come on up. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Father God, we come to you again, Lord, and we thank you for this day again, Lord. I just ask for protection over those that are here, Lord, and just as they go about their day, Lord, just bless them and keep them. And Lord, we just want to glorify you in everything we do, magnify your name. And we thank you, Lord, and may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give each and every one of you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I say, go with God. Amen.
Now about the first electric bill for December. Last year it was $278 and some odd change. This year it was $170.
Really? That's awesome.
Yep.
Ours was the opposite. Here's the gas bill. In October it was, or September it was 39.